Again, welcome to Exchange. As Brian said, this morning we're going to be looking at small groups. And so what you're going to need this morning is there's a little booklet that you should have gotten on your way in. If you did not get one of these beautiful green booklets, we've got people that are willing to pass these out to you. And we've got pens if you need pens as well, which you'll need pens because if you're a fill-in-the-blank kind of person, today is your day, all right? So raise your hand and Eric and some others will bring booklets around for you if you did not get one. Also tell him if you need a pen as well. We're going to work through these in just a little bit, okay? So it has been an absolute privilege of mine to be a part of this church over the last 13 years. I got to be on the core team here that planted Exchange Church, and I've been able to be one of the pastors here. And so many things have helped shape me over those years, but I don't know if there's anything more than small group that has shaped me and grown me personally. And raise your hand if that's the same for you, where you're just like, man, small groups, I have had an experience in small groups while here at Exchange. God has done an unbelievable work through small groups. It has always been the backbone of what we do around here. From day one, we had small groups. I think we had like three or something the first year. And but we've always met in people's homes. It's been kind of one of the things about not having a building is we've just met in a lot of living rooms. I think of all the living rooms that I've been, that I've seen and that I've met in, even across this room. You know, I just remember so many moments of getting to know people and getting to know their homes and life change that has happened there. And I know the same is true for you. So today we're going to talk about small groups. Now, this is a little tricky because maybe you're like, well, I'm not in one of these small groups. Hey, I want to get you in one of those small groups. One of my primary roles around here is to develop and keep that trellis of small groups going and healthy and flourishing. And so I would love to have a conversation with you about small groups and how we can get you involved in one or moving in that direction. Well, when would I talk to you about that, Ed? Oh, we've got a lunch right after the service, and I will just plant myself right there in one of those tables, and you can come hang out with me. I would love to talk to you about that. If you're a student in the room and you're like, this is like grown-up stuff, it's not grown-up stuff. We actually do small groups in youth ministry, and it's also training you toward a really flourishing life of being a grown-up in the church. So I hope that you get a sense of that, even as a student, to get to see, like, man, I want that, and I want what my parents have. And also, it's a chance, youth, for you to, like, push your parents to go to small group, okay? So that's good. If you're visiting this morning, if you're like, man, I came on one of those mornings where, like, the main preacher isn't preaching, and we have the other guy, and he's talking about small groups, man, this is a great morning for you to be here, because we're kind of, like Brian said, we're bringing you back into the kitchen. Right, you're stepping in first day, and you're back in the kitchen, and we're showing you like the secret sauce on how this stuff is made around here. So today is a great opportunity to like see what makes Exchange Exchange. Small group status, man, I am thrilled about where we are at Exchange right now in our small group ministry. We currently have 13 small groups. We have 7 new small group couple leaders this fall. So 7 new group leaders this fall. So we like to give leaders a chance to kind of roll off and take a break and rest. But also, as they've come off, we've had a lot more that have stepped up and made the commitment to lead in this new season. But I believe we are in a new, fresh, exciting season at Exchange of group ministry. We've got groups that meet 4 nights a week. Lots of them are on Wednesdays and Thursdays and Sundays and Monday. And the crazy thing about small groups, though, is like there's not like a, you look in the back of Scripture and you're like, where does it talk about small groups? Like, where's the chapter and verse on small groups? There's not a chapter and verse on small groups, right? And so what I'm tasked to do this morning is give you a picture in Scripture of like, what is the small group-ish type thing that's happening in Scripture? But so small groups is just a way, right? It's not the way. It is a way that fosters healthy growth for us as a people and helps us to walk alongside of the Lord and grow in Him. And so we do it a certain way. And so this morning, I just want to talk about this is how we choose to do it. There's hundreds of ways you can choose to do it. But as a church, this is how we choose to do it. And this is the culture of what it looks like for us to do small groups here. But first, I want to give you some vision and a picture of how I personally see groups, like what comes to mind when I see groups and how I'm trying to lead this church forward in group ministry. And then after I do that, we're going to talk about the mindsets of what kind of things need to be in our mind as we enter into small group setting. And that is what this booklet is. I want us to all be on the same page and be speaking the same language, so that language kind of creates the culture around here. So you just get ready to have your pens and your paper and all that. And we'll fill in all the blanks, I promise. And all the answers are on the Church Center app, okay? So don't like speed ahead, but they're all going to be there for in case you miss a blank, don't panic. So first, some vision on small group. John 10, this is a passage. John 10:7-10. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." Verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and what? Find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So if you write in your Bible, man, I would just encourage you to circle like verse 9 where he says, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture and then life abundantly. So Jesus says, "I am the door." Jesus is the door, the only way to eternal life. And he wants us to have life right here and now. And he wants us to experience a foretaste of the life to come right here and right now. So he says, "I came to give life eternal, but I also came to give life right here, right now." So heaven, eternal life actually starts right here and right now. Well, what are the ways in which that happens? I believe that small group, believe it or not, can actually be a soil in which that type of abundant life can exist and can happen. So when I think of small groups, I just wrote this down this week. When I think of small groups, I see the color green. I think about the potential of growth. I think about a trellis and a true vine and staying attached to him. I think about seeds deep in the earth that begin to shoot out of the dark, rich soil. I think about moments of awakening when the Spirit of God breaks through. I think about circles of people being needy and needed. I think about abundance and potential. I think about interconnected circles and interconnected root systems that hold each other up. I think about the tall canopies of a forest, the older trees protecting the younger trees. I think about green pastures. I think about a shepherd guiding his sheep into the greenest of green pastures. I think about sheep lying down, souls being restored. I think about goodness and mercy. And I think mostly about the shepherd who stands at the gate. The shepherd who stands as the gate. He wants more for his sheep, more than they know they need, so much so that he has gathered other sheep in this pasture to learn from each other, to enjoy the same grass, and to enjoy seeing the joy of each other. I think about the land of the living. I think about abundance. I think about the aftertaste of Eden, where relationships made sense and had purpose. I think about a foretaste of heaven where Christ is the centerpiece and the food is almost too good to be true. I think about this overlap here and now of the aftertaste of Eden and the foretaste of the new Eden. I think about green, the greenest of greens. I think about the shepherd. I think about a door where on the other side there are pleasures forevermore, a life that awaits, a life here and now that is more and better than anything we have ever dreamed. I think this is what Jesus had in mind when he talked about the kingdom being at hand, and when he talked about abundant life, and he talked about finding pasture. This is what comes to mind when I think about these little pockets of kingdom intentionality called small group. Small groups always start with a door. Inside that door is so much opportunity. You come on a Tuesday night, you come on a Wednesday night, you come on a Thursday night, and it starts with a door. And that door is Christ himself saying, "There's so much in here. There is the greenest of green in here. If we just get our minds in the right spot, trust me, there's abundant life to be had." pay attention to the heart and the intent of the shepherd here back in John 10. You see Jesus standing there and he says, he wants more for us. Like, I believe God wants, Jesus wants more. Wherever you're at in life, I think Jesus is saying, there's so much more. Life and life abundant, there is more. There's another way to live. And I stand at the door that's the entrance to that. And then there's the invitation from the shepherd. Not only does he want more, but he actually has more. He can deliver on his promise. He says, I want more for you, for us. And he says, and I have more for you. See, the enemy came, the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy, compared to the way, the truth, the life. It's the triad that defeats the other triad. So when it talks about the thief stealing, what that means is taking us away from the lush green grass that we were intended to live in and to live on. And then to destroy really means to make us useless, to make us apathetic and to coast. And Jesus stands there and he's like, oh, come on in. Come on in. I stand as the door, and behind the door there is life and there is life abundant. Come in here, go in and out and find pasture. And what kind of pasture would the good, best, bestest shepherd provide? The best pasture. He says, are you tired of eating brown grass? You look like you're tired of eating brown grass. Inside this door, man, there is green, green grass. You got to get in on this. You've got to get in on this. So he says, come in. So I believe that God has and wants more for us. He has more words for us. He has more to say to us in his word and through the people around you. He has more of his spirit to pour out on us. He has more community for us to experience. He has more formation into his likeness. He has more of himself, his presence. He has more abundance in real life to give us. He has more power to give us than you could ever imagine. He has more healing to bring to us. He has more participation with him. He has more faithfulness for you to see, more of his goodness for you to attend to. He has more joy in his presence. There's more green grass and less brown grass. There's so much more. And again, believe it or not, I believe small group can be one of the soils in which those things sprout and those things grow. It's just a thing. It is a way of gathering and focusing each other around those things, saying, there's more. He's already saved me. He's already given me eternal life, but eternal life starts now. And he's saying, I want you to experience so much more even now. And small group can be a way of doing that. I believe small group's not just another church activity that you should be guilted into doing. It's not just another night that you add on to your already busy schedule. Small group is a way to keep us focused on what matters most. Small group is a nest for the needy. And that's all of us. It's a dwelling place for the dependent. Small group is not a social club. Small group is a missional movement where we can pour out our lives for each other and keep each other attentive to what God is doing in our lives and how he wants us to be kingdom people. Small group can be very challenging. It can be the gym where we stretch our spiritual muscles, take risks, go all in on people's lives, live fully in the pasture, get nourished, help other people get nourished. And here's the thing. I'm preaching to the choir. Exchange, you have been doing this. I mean, I could sit up here and tell stories all morning long of how you guys have rallied around each other and cared for each other in small group ministry. There's just not enough time to share all of the different stories of how you've shown up for each other and spurred each other on toward kingdom initiatives. And so this is not new to us, but let's not forget what we're doing here. Let's not forget what we're doing here. So occasionally it's good to kind of pull out as a team and like get in a huddle and say like, okay, this is what we're about. This is the way we need to think about this. These are the mindsets that we step into small group thinking about. So now we're at the point with this little green book. Okay, so we're going to walk through this entire book. And what I've done is I have detailed this in six mindsets. Okay, there are six mindsets that shape a culture of small group. And so I want you to just like see the color green and just remember that like there is abundant life that can be had here if we just open our hands, depend on him, and trust that his way is best. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to create language, and we've been using a lot of this language anyway, but this is not leader language. Okay, this is very important. This is part of the DNA of Exchange. This is not just leader talk or pastor talk or staff talk. This is member talk. Okay, we just sang a song. God has made us a kingdom of priests. He's made us a kingdom of priests who need language for why we do and how we do the things that we do. So as part of this family, as a member of this family, you have meaningful member ministry. And that a lot of that takes place within the context of small groups. And so it's not, let's look at the small group leader to do the ministry. It's like, no, as a small group member, you are a minister. You are a full-time minister in that small group. So this is not a leader manual. This is a member manual for how we do community and culture around here. Okay, so I'm going to give you a flyover. Believe it or not, this is going to be a flyover. And then over the next couple weeks in your actual small groups, your leaders, we've already talked with the leaders through this whole thing, they're actually going to take these, and every page on the right, the even pages, that's what you're going to work through in small group for the next couple weeks, okay? And so you're going to have fun like trying to figure out some of these things and talking about how can we practice these things together. So that's a whole nother sermon. You don't want me to do how we're going to do all these things, but that's for your group time in the next couple weeks to like look at the stuff on the odd pages and figure out how are we going to do that as a group? What would it look like for us to practice that? Okay? So page one. We make embodied presence the normal practice. We make embodied presence the normal practice. We decide to be present and committed before we're ever tempted not to be. We show up. Mindset number one is just like, we show up. We show up to things that matter. So the default is, should I go? No, we're showing up. We're gonna do the best we could possibly do to be present in a culture that is artificial right now, and you don't really feel like you need to show up embodied, small group can provide an incredible counter to that that says, like, no, being present physically in the same room as another person is really, really like Jesus. Proximity mattered to Jesus. I just believe this. I believe Christ is committed to showing up. Christ is committed to showing up to your small group. Think about that. When you pull up and you see all the cars parked, he's already there. He's already showed up. He's already tending the earth, and the Spirit is already ready to receive, okay? And so one of the things on page two, you get to ask the question, Jesus showed up. So did Jesus show up? How did Jesus show up? You as a group this week kind of get to figure out and brainstorm, like, is that true? Because these mindsets are to have the mind of Christ, okay? And so if these are like mindsets of Christ, then Christ needed to have done these for us to be like him. We want to be a Christ-like community, distinctly Christian people. That's what's going to separate these groups from being just a hangout or like a book club or just eating meals together, right? This is distinctly Christian. So did Jesus show up? You can already kind of start brainstorming some of those as you picture him to coming in different rooms and stuff. So blank number two, weariness is often what qualifies us to show up. Weariness. Probably didn't think that was going to be the answer to that. It's not awesomeness. It's not the blank there. Weariness is often what qualifies us to show up. We show up to receive ministry from others. What this does is this actually allows and empowers others to use their gifts. When you show up weary, which you will be weary. I don't know if you've noticed the rhythm of this. I've typically done small group on Wednesday nights. By the time I get to Wednesday, it's like I am tired Wednesday afternoon. Every Wednesday afternoon, I'm like, should I go to a small group? Well, I'm leading it, so I should probably. But like, should I go? And like, I come up with all these different reasons of why I shouldn't go. Here's why I think that's actually like a good thing that I'm weary on the nights that we have small group. God uses our weakness, 2 Corinthians 12. Christ's power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will gladly boast in my weakness so that, listen to this, the power of Christ may rest upon me. I would love to have the power of Christ rest upon me. Then show up weak. Weak is like your actual superpower. Weakness is your superpower. To show up to a small group and say, man, I am actually showing up because I'm empowering the other people to pour into me. Come poor and needy, right? Come weary. Like I said, small group is a nest for the poor and needy. It's a nest for the needy. And so this life of faith is not about performance, right? And so we're not showing up to small group to impress each other. That's not what this thing is about. That would be so lame and so sad if that was the case. It's just not. The life of faith is about dependence. And so small group gives us that opportunity. It's why I think I feel tired on Wednesdays, because it's like you need to be dependent. Show up dependent and allow others to give you their strength and maybe their weakness as well. We show up for the sake of, the next blank is others. We show up for the sake of others. Small group is not project self. Yes, it is good for us, but it's not just a room of mirrors where you're just trying to look at yourself and be better. We go there because there are people there who need the very thing that we have to offer in that very moment. If we are not present, they don't receive it. I know that sounds like duh, but like if we are not present, they do not receive the thing that we have to offer. So much of our formation is for the sake of others. I think about moments in small group. I can think about, I'm going to call one person out, Doug Penny. I remember one thing Doug Penny said months and months and months ago in small group, and I needed that like breath of life in me that night. And so the thought is, what if he hadn't shown up? What if for whatever reason he just hadn't been there? I don't receive that. And think about how much joy, right, the Spirit of God gets in like empowering a person to then fill life up with somebody else. That is like, that is the best stuff. That is the abundant life that we're talking about right here. And so all of this is grace. All of this is grace. Man, finding pasture. You come in and people are ministering. You're ministering. It's this like dance of we get to do this together. The last one is this. We carry the load. We carry the load. Galatians 6. Like we carry burdens that are far too heavy for others to carry on their own. You know what that's like, right? Where you're just like, there's no way. Somebody explains what they're walking through. And you're like, your shoulders are just not strong enough for that. There's no way. You were not designed to carry that on your own. Galatians 6 talks about like how we carry the burdens of one another. We're literally getting in there giving people, we're spotters, giving people spots on how to lift the super heaviness of life. And then they lift our heaviness. So in small group, not only do we carry the loads of each other, we carry the spiritual load, but we carry the practical load of group, meaning we don't just depend on the leaders to do everything. All right, like I said, you are a full-time minister within that group, and so we're helping leaders with the scheduling, the food, the hosting, and all that kind of stuff. And again, like I said, there's endless stories in here of how we have seen you guys do that over the years here at Exchange. It's just so good. It's so good. There's so much pasture that is there. Number one, we show up. Number two, page three, we bring the word. We bring the word. So we show up, we bring the word. Colossians 3 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What that really means there is like, yes, it's the actual words of Christ. It is the words of Scripture, but it's also the words of the gospel. And so what are we bringing to small group? We know like, hey, what's everybody bringing food-wise tonight? We're really good at bringing the food, right? And enjoying the food, which is awesome. I love it. But we also need to be like, what we're really bringing, the default of what we're bringing is we're bringing the word. We've got something sacred that God has given us that he has told us to offer to one another. And then we get to receive that from others as well. And so we have to be really well-versed and fluent in what the gospel is and what the words of Christ actually are. And so it just changes the mindset when you go to group like, yeah, I'm bringing some chips and stuff and some drinks and maybe a side or an appetizer or whatever. But man, I've got something I'm bringing tonight. Like I've got something like really unbelievable. And I don't even know how or who needs this. But like this week, God gave me something to give to somebody. I'm just waiting on the Spirit to give me that open door to give it to somebody. And I don't even understand it. I'll never understand fully the impact of what that looks like for me to bring the actual words of Christ to people. And so I'll move on. Our time in the Word in the private place has given us something for the public space. Our time in the Word in the private place has given us something for the public space. So we practice bringing what fresh words God has given us throughout the last work. The Spirit works, He wants to work through freshness, through fresh words that He has given us, right? It just tastes different on people's tongue when they hear that it is fresh from us. And so the time that I spend in the Word, that like changes how I do my time in the Word in the morning, where like I'm thinking about people in my group. And the Spirit's like bringing people to mind, say, yes, Ed, this is for you. I want to meet with you, just me and you, Jesus, my quiet time with Jesus. But what you don't see is like, and there's all these other people that God is like attached to you. And He's saying, I'm giving you this for the sake of the people that you've already made a commitment to be with them once, at least once a week. And so I'm part of something here. That's not just me alone in my favorite chair in my house. That's part of something awesome vertically with Him. But then there's the horizontal of like, man, I get to be part of something here that is absolutely supernatural. And a lot of times it's like, I'm coming with this thing. I don't even know why this is the thing that God wants me to give. And God's like, I do. I do because I know what that person in your group's been walking through. I know exactly what I'm up to. And He's using you. He could do it on His own, but He invites us to participate with Him. That is just wild to me. To me, that is the abundant life. That is the greenest of all green, that He would invite us to participate with Him. We ask the questions that allow us to share gospel truths. We ask the questions that allow us to share gospel truth. I think good questions demand good answers, and I think we got to come up with good questions. And so some of these questions might be like, when somebody expresses what they're walking through in small group, you know, you say like, does Jesus or the way He lived have anything to say about what we're talking about right now? Does Jesus have anything to say? Because here's the deal. I know we do. I know we have plenty to say, right? We have opinions galore. We have like, well, here's kind of what I think about when I say, you know, when I walk through that, this is what I did. But like, it's good for us to step back and say, before we give what we think, let's look at what Jesus thinks and what He thought and what He did in this situation. Let's push each other to think in a Jesus-type way, to say, okay, what is the gospel here? What are the Jesus truths that actually inform this situation? So where does Scripture inform us in this? How is God using this very thing to grow our dependence on Him? Okay, so we come ready with a word. The thing that's been cooking inside of us in the private place. We come with a word, we come ready with a word, and we come needy for the word. That's a good mindset. I'm ready with a word, and I'm needy for the word. And so again, dependence. We bring the word and trust that He will speak through it. So we show up, we bring the word. Page 5, we pray big. This is what we do. This is what we do as a people. We pray big prayers to a big God who can do big things. All the blanks there are big, okay? We pray big prayers to a big God who can do big things. Because of who God is, we can pray big, seemingly impossible prayers. We pray with impudence. We pray with persistence. We pray with dependence. We pray those things like, what's the thing I would pray for if I really thought God could do it? Or do I just kind of give like a safe, I just pray like it's a good week? Or it's like, we did this with our students this summer at camp, and I'm telling you, it was awesome, right, guys? We said, like, what's the thing you would actually pray for if you were bold enough to pray for it? And then it opens the room, right? And then God's like, now we're actually talking about it, okay? So our prayers actually have power to be effective. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And our prayers are actually effective. Wait, hold on. Like, our prayers actually, like, move the needle? That's crazy that God would invite us into a thing where this pasture, this abundance of like our prayers are actually powerful and effective. So prayer needs to be our first and regular move as a group. What's the first move? What's the first reach? It's prayer. And again, we just don't lack for having like quick counsel. You know, like, well, let me give you an answer. Let me give you an answer. Let me tell you what I would do. Let me tell you what I did. Let me tell you what worked for me. Sometimes that's fine. Sometimes, but sometimes we need to be as group members. We need to be quick to say, I think we should pray. I think we should just pause right now. Not just wait until the end of small group to say, like, now let's pray about all the things, right? Let's pause right here, right now, and just ask the Lord. And I have found, I know a lot of y'all would probably agree with this, I have found that those moments in small group are unbelievably powerful. It's like you're just inviting the Spirit of God to come and rest on the moment. And he comes and he rests on the moment. So just be, our first and regular move needs to be prayer. We're committed to watch and pray. We're committed to watch and pray. This is a big one. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be watchful, right? Because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a lion seeking someone to what? Devour. You know who that someone might be? It might be you. It might be the people in your group. And so I don't know if you're like me, but I get like, what? My people? Come at me. Maybe the phrase here needs to be, not on my watch. Not on my watch. As a group member, we have this like bowed up mentality that's like, I'm coming because I'm watching how this pesky schemer, liar, the devil is trying to devour my friends. And I'm sick and tired of watching him pick on my friends. And so I'm watching these schemes so then I can step in, because they can't see it. So I can step in, I'm being watchful, and I can show up and armor up and fight in prayer. You ever thought about small group being like battleground? Like, why would I go to small group tonight? Because there's a war that's taking place. I'm going to small group because the battle is raging and the enemy's picking off my friends. And I won't stand for it, not on my watch. We must never presume that God will grant us, apart from prayer, what he has ordained to grant us only by means of prayer. There are things that God has told us in Scripture, I listed a bunch of those there, that he says he will do by means of prayer. He will do only through prayer. That is like a wild mystery to me, but he's involving us. I think about a situation, we were hanging out this weekend with some people from our previous small group, and they asked about one of my children, who was just going through like a challenging thing like about a year ago. And they said, how is this child doing? And we said, thriving. Just absolutely thriving. And they're like, that's amazing. I said, I attribute that to the prayers of our small group. Less I think, oh, we just became awesome parents all of a sudden, and we fixed it. Or like, that kid just figured it out, and they became awesome. No. I believe that it was the consistent prayers of our small group lifting up one of these people, who now I watch this person dance in freedom and be as confident as this person could ever be. I'm like, that's because of my small group. Again, dependence. And I would even, how we practice this, man, I would encourage you, however you want to do this, we can talk about this as leaders and stuff, but like one night a month, just go big prayer night. Just get in it and just get after it together. Just list the actual things that you've never been really vulnerable enough to list and just start praying those things so that you can come back later and say, I mean, all I can attribute to is just the persistent prayers of our small group. We show up, we bring the word, we pray big, we feast. Page 7, we feast. We don't have a problem with this, right? It's our Baptist roots. We gather around common food with a common heart, okay? So we don't have a problem with doing food, great. We gather around common food with a common heart. This is what it looks like when we do the Lord's Supper here, right? We're gathering around a common food. We're doing the same thing with a common heart. And so I highly recommend eating together. We do like one meal a month in small groups. Some of y'all eat every week, which is amazing. But taste and see that the Lord is good. We get to enjoy good things together, right? Try something new. Try making something awesome. But we get to enjoy that with that common heart. And then we will linger at the table and recount his goodness. So not only are we feasting on food, but we're feasting on the goodness of God. So we as a people, our mindset is we will feast. We as a people feast on food, but we also feast on the goodness of God. Man, I felt like that's what worship was this morning. It's just like singing about the goodness of God, is just feasting on his goodness. Psalm 107 talks about being attentive to the ways of God, like helping each other consider and be attentive. Imagine this, you eat a big meal together as a small group, you push away from the table and you just say like, can we just talk about the goodness of God? I know all these things are hard, we've got all these hard things, but for a minute, let's just feast on the goodness of God together. As a community, let's just talk about how good he has been. That is like some of the best nights you could ever imagine. We're just like, you know, I haven't been paying that much attention to it, but like he's been so good in this and this and this, and I see it, and I want to help you see it as well. So we linger around the table and recount his goodness. Christ is the last blank here. Christ is the centerpiece on the table, like a Thanksgiving turkey, like the thing that is right in the middle of the table. Because if we're not careful, other things can drift to the center of the table, right? Because we have all sorts of divisive commentary, our cultural hot takes, our personal political opinions or agendas, or like third tier kind of theology stuff, that if we're not careful, those things will become the thing that is attempting to unify us. But we will say Christ is the centerpiece on the table. He is the one thing that unifies us. So we will spend our time on the thing that unifies us. He is the only one worthy of being in the middle of the table. And so we help each other. We need to hold each other accountable to say like, hey, what's in the middle of the table? What's drifted toward the middle of the room? And why is that the case? Let's kick that out. Let's get him back in the middle of the room. So we feast on him, feast on his nearness, on his goodness. So we show up, we bring the word, we pray big, we feast, page 9. We consider our circles. We must remember that we are on mission every day of the week in the spaces that God has placed us. Man, and what better space than small group to encourage each other on this daily, lifelong mission? You know, we ask each other about our mission field opportunities. We spend like 98% of our life outside of gathering in a church building. God has scattered us with strategy where we live, work, and play in our field and in our family. And so we have to remain in that conversation or else we will lose why we are here. We have to talk about it in small group. Like, man, what is God doing in the other percentage of your life? How are you paying attention to what he's doing and how he's, what people is he bringing into your circle? We need to have a growing list of the blank here's names, a growing list of names of those our small group members are trying to engage with the gospel. And then we begin praying for those people. This is so fun because we get to engage in mission with our people and say like, you know, God has just brought this person into my circle. And now I want to bring you guys into the circle to like pray with me as I engage them with the gospel. And then we get to pray powerful and effective prayers and watch and wait and see what God does. And then we get to celebrate salvations. We plan on celebrating salvations and steps of a faith. It's so fun to have members of a small group like, hey, I'm engaged in what you're doing on a Tuesday morning. And you're coming back to us and you're telling us like, oh, wow, there's like really kingdom purpose in what I do on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And now I've got these names attached to it and things attached to it. And our group is excited about these names. The group is praying for those names. And then we get to rejoice. Man, when you see somebody come to faith, that's like jet fuel in your faith. So as a group, man, one of the biggest prayers I have is like, man, these are groups where you would see people come to faith this year in the places that God has sent us on mission. It's just the best stuff. It's the absolute best stuff of life. Then we help each other see how our daily lives can be lived on mission. So we need to learn and be trained how to speak kingdom language into the things that we do the other 6 days of the week, right? And so we pray prayers like, your kingdom come. And so there's people in this room that are in construction, you stay at home, you work at the hospital, there's people in ministry, there's students, there's teachers, there's people that work in coffee, there's people that work desk jobs, there's people that are in software, there are people in here that are neighbors, they are rec sports coaches, they're volunteers, they're parents, they're spouses, they're roommates. How do we look at all those things and say, that's not just a waste of time until we get back to small group or until we get back to church on Sunday? No, that is like leveraging those spaces for the kingdom. And how can we rally around each other on a consistent basis. Let's consider the places that God has placed you. That is like our missional effort primarily here at Exchange, is the full-time ministers that he has made you. And so we want to cheer for you. We want to champion what you're doing week in, week out. So we show up, we bring the word, we pray big, we feast, we consider our circles, and lastly, we make room. We make room. We are looking, planning, and hoping to multiply our small group. So this is just a mindset that we need to have from the beginning of our time together as a group, is that it means we don't tight-fist our small group. We don't even care. We need to be careful about using my language about the group, right? We need to always be thinking about like what we call next up leaders. So there's people within the group that are like rising up, and you see them, it's like, man, they could be like a next up leader. And so we want to communicate that early on, so it's not a surprise. Later on, we say like, well, we'd really like to pull this person out or launch something new with them. So it's a good chance that one or some of the people in your small group will need to step out and lead, right? Or that your leader steps out and leads another group and somebody else rises up and leads that group. It's just a mindset of we need to multiply and make room. It's a we responsibility. This is not an Ed problem. It's a we responsibility for us to be thinking we've got to make room for people. People who can experience the same thing that we have experienced in small group. So we need to be ready for quick, exponential growth as a church. I don't know. I mean, what if next Sunday there's 40 new people that step in here? Everybody, are you just going to look at me and Brian and be like, we'll figure it out. What are we going to do? We need more chairs. We need more groups. It's like, no, if we have a mindset of like, no, we are ready to prepare and make room. We got chairs to pull up for people. And that's just being committed to a bigger picture. We had 28 units, family units in May that we needed to make room for. There were 28 units in here who did not have a small group. And because of the product of like a commitment to a bigger picture, people stepped out and people began all these new groups. And now we literally have a space for everybody. We have a space for everybody from May to August, because we just had a mindset, we've created space for everybody, okay? And if you haven't found your space, again, I've either been in conversation with you or let's continue to have a conversation about that. The last one is this. The mindset is to pull up a chair for someone else to feast on the Lord and his community, right? So we just need to have a mindset of like kingdom over comfort, and pull up a chair for someone else to feast on the Lord and enjoy his community. So we're working with Next Up leaders to pull up a chair. This is the deal. Okay, I'll close with this. This is the deal. We make room because he made room for us. I mean, think about that. We're in this room. We're a part of this thing because he made room for us. The door said, there's room for you here. Christ gave his life to make room for you in the kingdom. And so he opens the door today and says like, hey, come in. It's really, really, really good in here. So maybe today you're like, man, all this sounds like really big language talk from this guy. And maybe you're like, I don't even know if I'm like, I've like come in the door yet. I don't even know if I'm like with him. Maybe when our prayer team is in the back after the service, maybe you just need to go back to them and say like, you know what? I want in on this thing. You know, I see Jesus standing as the door. And if I'm honest, my life is a little bit stale. And the brown grass is not tasting all that good. I want to eat this green grass that they're talking about. And I want to figure out, even before I talk about small groups, man, I want to figure out, like, what does it look like to enter the door and go all in on this abundant life with him? Last thing I'll say is I really believe this. Jesus enjoys your small group. That thought just came to me this week. It means something to him. Like, your small group actually means something to him. You're part of something really, really important in the big cosmic picture here. It matters to him. He wants to be there, and he wants to be the centerpiece, and he wants to give us more. We're in a really exciting stage as a small group ministry at Exchange. We continue to pull up chairs. We continue to make room. We continue to invest in these things that matter most. I'm going to do something just in closing. I'm not going to do anything weird, I promise. If our small group leaders could just stand just for a second. If you're a small group leader, could you stand? I just want them to get like eyes on you Okay, these are the leaders who have said, yes, we're going to lead. Now, I want the rest of you to stand with them. Okay, and I'm going to pray for us as we stand together in this mission. Let's pray. Father,